All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
This is Brilliant Ideas of the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show, and welcome to another Saturday morning in the foodie world where we talk about food, find friends, and we have my trusty sidekick, the wine czar himself, Mr. Brian Fairchild. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. You know, the czar has got some carpet sores because I've been on the road so much lately, and my flying carpet is just tired. How are you?
I was going to ask, are they carpet burns or carpet sores?
Well, right now they're just sores. I'm trying to keep them from becoming burns.
Hello, Laurie, our food news Jersey style girl.
Well, good morning, guys. And what
good
a morning,
morning
it
Laurie.
Is. My goodness. We're into the first week of November. We've got 50 degrees. It's sunny. Ooh, I'm loving it.
She sounds like she's ready to go. By the way, folks, I had someone ask me just the other day, in the beginning of our show, we always say something along the line that this show is for entertainment purposes only. And someone asked me why I say that. Well, it's because anything you learn from our show or think you learn from our show, don't take it for granted. It's true. It's strictly opinion and things that we read on the Internet. So we have to do that for legal reasons. So don't ever take anything serious, at least that we all say. And welcome to another Saturday morning, which, by the way, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do for a change, Brian. I'm actually going to announce who our guests are. Our guests this morning are the bikini chef, Susan Irby, and she'll be joining us. And she is, I have to admit, I had never heard of her before until recently, but she is well-renowned, and she's on TV, radio. She's a radio host, TV host. She's got all kinds of recipe books and all about healthy. I guess that's the reason why I don't know anything about her, because it's everything about healthy food. But she'll be joining us as our first guest around noon. And then our second guest is our good friend Junie Fisher. She's the WMA Entertainer of the Year, which, for those who don't know what WMA is, that's Western Music Association. She's been on our show a couple times, and she's coming on to get an update on some of her new music and also a project that we talked about, I think, was close to a year ago. A movie is called Out of the Wild, and she has the soundtrack, title track, to the movie, and they're raising money to do the movie. And I think we're going to have the writer of the movie also joining Junie. So that's the lineup for the show. And by the way, for those of you who didn't know this, I didn't know this myself, we are now available on the Internet through your phone. If you've got an iPhone or any kind of phone, actually, all you have to do is download our show. I did it, what day was that, Wednesday night. I was coming back from the Baltimore airport, and I queued it up on my phone, and I got to listen to me talk all the way home. So you can do the same.
God, what? And you didn't drive off the road?
No. It was weird. All I need now is I got to plug into the car speakers. You got to get one of those attachments because I couldn't hear it really well. So I had to put it up to my ear. But It's pretty cool. We can now do this, and I guess I'm probably sounding stupid. People out there are probably saying, "Well, you idiot! Of course you can." But actually, Blog Talk Radio just changed the format, so you can download all of our shows and play them on your telephone, iPad, what have you, all those iThings. So anyway, check that out. So let's see here. What else I got to do? Nothing as far as announcements, I don't think. So Laurie, this is where you. This is where you shine, and we got to go back to all those fun food facts you've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. And by the way, if you haven't heard these facts the last couple of weeks, you need to go back and listen to the previous shows. Laurie has a list of like 60 interesting food facts that are just really weird, and we've talked about them the last couple of weeks. So, Laurie, what number are we on now?
Of course, what?
Yeah, Brian.
I said, of course, we missed them last week because Laurie was off playing the fireman. So, you know, we've got to make up for lost time.
That's true. We did. I forgot about last week. She wasn't here. That's right. She was playing
with
the spark. We won't go there. And by the way, they did teach her how to ride that pole. But, Laurie, do you want to talk about these food facts?
Sure. Please, yes. Get off the other subject now. Okay, yes. These are 60 interesting facts. And we left off at number 34. So here we go. Ranch dressing, which I think we do buy this, don't we? Or I think you buy this sometimes. Ranch dressing contains titanium dioxide, which is used to make it appear whiter. It's the same ingredient that's used in sunscreen and paint.
So does that mean that we can rub ranch dressing on our bodies to get some sunscreen? You know, what's the SPF rating on that ranch dressing? You know, that's the sunscreen rating.
Isn't this stuff bizarre?
Yes.
Really, you buy ranch dressing sometimes, like for marinade? Is that the one you buy?
No, I buy the Italian dressing, but I have bought ranch before.
Nice.
But now that I know it's got sunscreen in it, forget that.
And paint.
And paint. Oh, wait. Can you paint with it, too?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. If you want to make yourself look whiter, I guess. I don't know. They put it in there to make the ranch dressing whiter. So,
well, there you
number
go.
35. Three plates of food at a Chinese buffet will net you about 3,000 calories, and that I knew.
Yeah, I knew that was fattening.
Yeah, it's really fattening stuff.
And you had to tell me this after I went to a Chinese buffet last night.
Did you really?
No, but
did
I did
really
eat Chinese know? Food. I did get Chinese takeout. You know, I'm a bachelor this weekend, so I have to do all the bad things that I, you know, normally do when I'm alone. So
I love Chinese takeout, but the salt content is really
good. I wonder. I've never been to China. Have you been to China, Brian?
No, but I would love to go. Actually,
do they have Chinese buffets?
Asian
there?
Culture is like something I'm passionate about.
That's true. You are.
But do they have
Do they have Chinese buffets there?
Oh, I don't know. Actually, I have a friend who lives in Hong Kong. I can find out for sure.
Yeah, find out. I just find that intriguing. I just wonder if they have Chinese buffets there also, or do they have American buffets?
Which means there's absolutely nothing because we have no food culture, do we? Oh, crap. I just pissed off more people. Oh, well. There I go again.
Yep.
That's what you do.
Put in your mouth. Number 36. To make jelly beans shiny, they use shellac, which is made from insect excretions.
There you go.
Well, there's your there's your opportunity to eat insects. Just eat jelly beans.
That's true. I actually don't like jelly beans. They get stuck in my teeth, but
don't get started on the whole
insect thing. I still haven't gotten over that. People are still raving about it, that it's the new protein and we're all going to be farming insects to eat. No, thank you.
Know.
I'll stick with my bacon.
Yeah. Yep. Number 37. Listen to this one. One fast food hamburger may contain meat from 100 different cows. One.
Well, I want to know if maybe they're fast food hamburger may contain meat from 100 different animals, let alone cows. And who knows, there may be bugs in those too.
You know, that's funny you guys bring that up, but a lot of people, because I was in the poultry industry, a lot of people don't grasp that whole idea. When you go buy like a 9 or 12 drumsticks or wings or what have you, I think people actually think, like, if you had 12 wings and it came from perhaps 6 different birds, no, it comes from 12 different birds. They just dump them in a big vat and they pick them out.
Yeah,
and put
of
them
course.
So it doesn't surprise me. Ground beef would come from all kinds of cows.
Wow.
Or animals, or other animals, as Brian likes to say.
Yeah.
Number 38. Ketchup was used as a medicine in the 1800s to treat diarrhea, among other things.
Dr. Hines.
Ketchup was used?
Gee, really? I would think that it gives you diarrhea. Let alone treat it. But they probably didn't have the chemicals then that they have in the ketchup now. So,
True.
Maybe
something
in the tomato itself.
We talked about that one time before with the people who came out with that new ketchup that's made out of other things other than tomatoes. But why did they change the name? It used to be called Catsup. Remember when we were kids, it was Catsup, and then they changed it to ketchup?
Well, because probably people were calling it cat soup.
Probably. Never thought of that.
I mean, I always just call it cat soup.
Cat soup. Did you really when you were little?
Yeah.
Aww.
But, you know, I still take issues with, is it Heinz or one of the other companies that feels that they have to make yellow ketchup and green ketchup and red ketchup and purple ketchup because that's the only way they can get kids to like it. Well, as far as I'm concerned, ketchup is not great for you. Why do we have to force kids to like it, you know?
Oh, boy, don't get on that whole thing. Oh, my God, everything that's produced out there from cereals to cookies to ketchup, catsup, it's all done that way for a reason because kids eat it and they're a big part of the market out there.
It's the market. It is. It's exactly right. It's the market.
A lot of kids put it on their hot dogs. I just can't see it. I don't put
mustard
either.
You just can't relish the thought, can you?
I can't relish it, no. What's that drum thing?
Yeah, but I'm talking.
You need to get some of that in the background. Okay, proof number 39. Fruit-flavored snacks are made with the same wax used on your cars.
Say that again.
Fruit-flavored snacks are made with the same wax that's used on your cars.
Turtle wax.
Oh. You know, like the fruit roll-ups and stuff like them?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so can I buy those and rub them on my car and get a nice sheen?
Probably. And then you could eat it, too.
After I've rubbed it on the dirty car?
Why not?
Know.
Hey, look, you got the wax in there. What's the difference? You're eating it anyway.
You know the expression, give it to Mikey. Mikey will eat. Well, I say give it to Brilliant. Brilliant will eat it.
It has bacon on it.
There you go.
Ah, there's the symbol.
There you go.
All right. What else, Brian? Okay,
number 40. Peanut, we know this. Peanuts are nuts. Peanuts aren't nuts. They're legumes. We know that. We've talked about that a bazillion times.
Yeah.
41. No matter what color Fruit Loop you eat, they all taste the same. Did you know that?
No, they don't.
Yeah.
Wait, say that again. No matter what color
Fruit Loop you eat, they all taste the same.
Oh, I don't know. I don't eat Fruit Loops.
You know what? I got to try that out. We're going to Walmart. I'm buying some Fruit Loops. And I'm sitting here thinking, as a kid, I thought they had different. Wait a minute. No, I'm thinking.
I did too. Like the strawberry color was strawberry. I did too.
I want a picture of you separating out all the Fruit Loops into color categories.
I'll do that. I'll post it on Facebook. Now, I know M&M's are that way. M&M's, the yellow ones don't taste any different than the red ones and the brown ones.
Right.
But I didn't know.
I tell you what, I'll even buy you the Fruit Loops.
You are a Fruit Lewis. Well, okay, Laurie, go ahead.
Number 42. Listen to this one. The most expensive fruit in the world is the, Brian, you probably know this, is the Japanese Yubari cantaloupe. And two melons once sold at auction for $23,500.
Wow, I'd like to see the rest of the body connected to those melons.
Something brilliant would say, "Oh, you've been hanging around too long."
I know. I'm stealing some of his lines.
Well, you know what? I have to behave because you're on the show, Laurie. So I guess Brian can take all the great lines now because I can't say that kind of stuff anymore.
I know. And best friends don't get the kind of grief that boyfriends do.
Now wait a minute. Go back to that again because he kind of got me sidetracked thinking here. What kind of melon are we talking about?
Japanese Yubari. Am I saying that right? Y-U-B-A-R-I, Yubari?
Sounds good to me.
It beats me.
Yubari cantaloupe. Yep.
Can we grow those?
I don't
those?
Know why. I'd like to Google that.
I want to grow
why.
Those, that's for sure.
Maybe it just, you know, maybe it takes takes a really long time for something, or I don't know why it would be so much money, but there's a reason.
Probably because they can only grow one a year, and so it becomes this delicacy.
Probably.
All right.
Okay.
Here
we go with
those
this
melons.
One, number 43.
Yeah.
I think you're going to crack up. Brilliant, I'm thinking of you because I know how much you love peanut butter. As a matter of fact, after I read it, you can tell you a little story about what you had today. But archiebutyrophobia is the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth.
I don't think Brilliant ever gives it a chance to stick to the roof of his mouth.
He swallows it down with a pill. Just pumping.
All right. Well,
so cute, Joe. Tell a story this morning. I'm on my computer, and you're like, you know, asking me if I want something, if I'm hungry. And I'm like, no, go ahead, make something. And all of a sudden, go ahead.
Well, I was going to save this for the healthy lady who's going to be coming on the show in a little bit, but I may, and listen to this, Brian, this is not bad. I put butter in the pan, took some French bread slices, put them in the pan and, you know, kind of browned them up in the pan, then slapped on some peanut butter and squirted on some honey. Now, what is wrong with that?
It was really good. I slapped on some peanut butter.
You know what?
Like
I'm not going to argue with you.
Football.
It sounds perfectly fine. My only concern is that you saying brown something up in a pan means that the bread was probably black. So, you know, I might have
a little
bit of trouble with the char on the bread, but the peanut butter and the honey.
I know, it was delicious.
Well,
that
is the funny part of the story that I didn't tell you. After I took the bread out of the pan, I was putting the peanut butter on and squirting on the honey. And I got sidetracked. I was posting something on Facebook about the show.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I forgot the pan was sitting on the burner. So all of a sudden, smoke started pouring off of the pan. And Laurie doesn't even know this because she was not paying attention. And I had to throw it off because the pan almost caught on fire. But, yeah, you're pretty close, Brian, to your story.
Oh, man. And wait,
and
you
goes,
have a gas burner
really
or electric?
Good.
Electric.
You have gas or electric? Oh, that's
electric.
Even worse. That's even worse. I don't know. Laurie, you have to keep an eye on him.
Yep.
I'm going to ask Susan Irby when she comes on the bikini show if what I had this morning for breakfast was a healthy breakfast.
I think it was very healthy. I mean, the butter and you know, in the pan with the French toast, you know, packing the butter on the bread. I don't think that was too healthy.
Well,
let me tell you,
the only thing I would say is healthy was the honey.
Well, the peanut butter is very good for you too, though.
Well, yeah, but
peanut butter is good for you. But he puts it on. It looks like a football. I mean, this big, huge lump of peanut butter sits on his bread when he makes it. It's huge. Like a little spread, like you know, like you spread butter. It wasn't that. It was you know.
Wait. The question is, chunky or smooth?
Oh, I love chunky,
smooth.
But he buys the smooth. Yep.
Oh, okay, so how do you combat this? You know, do you get a jar of chunky and a jar of smooth every time?
No.
No, I don't eat the peanut butter as much as he does. I mean, he sits there with a knife, I think, right? And just scoops it out while he's at his computer and just sits there with a knife
easier.
And a big, with the Costco-sized jar of peanut butter, not the little one.
Much easier to consume the smooth than the chunky if you're going to eat it in excess.
Exactly.
I can put peanut butter on just about everything. I love
that. He can. He really can.
Hey, wait. This is a GP-rated show, Brilliant. We don't need to know about where you would put peanut butter.
See, now, Brian, what do you think? You two have, this is over. Okay. Two friends are becoming too close. I'm scared. Brilliant's thinking of it, and he's putting it in Brian's brain to say it.
Yeah, think about that. That's exactly true. Now, I'm drinking fine wines now, and he's talking smut. We have been hanging out too much at the time.
Wait, do they call that osmosis? Is that what that is?
I think so. Yeah, we've osmosis into one person. That's scary.
Oh, God, boy. Do I need a detox?
All right, Laurie, where were we?
44. Listen to this one. I've heard this before, though. I think a lot of people might know this. But when taken in large doses, or don't do this, nutmeg works as a hallucinogenic.
Ooh. Oh,
really?
That's great information for me. I love nutmeg. I am definitely going to take it in large doses.
And as we said, don't take anything that we say on this show as fact. Be careful, check it out, and make sure and check with your doctor before taking large doses of nutmeg.
As a matter of fact, I needed to do that before next week's show.
No, do it. Well, yeah, do it right before the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I can. Then I'll be able to tolerate you.
Well, I have to say the next one, number 45, regarding bananas. This is why maybe grilling, you're always so happy. But eating bananas helps fight depression.
There you go.
See that?
And Brian, I know exactly what you're thinking. I know exactly what you're thinking, but don't even go there.
You don't even know what I'm thinking. I was going to say bananas and peanut butter would make you even more happy.
Well, there you go, and I do it all the time.
That's what I was going to say. I wasn't going to say anything nasty or dirty. So, you see, you don't know me as well as you think you do.
Yeah, you were thinking it. All right,
Laurie. I was probably thinking it. Okay, number 46. Here we go. You guys are going to go crazy on this one. Canola oil was originally called rapeseed oil, but rechristened, did you really, by the Canadian oil industry in 1978 to avoid the negative connotations. Canola is short for Canadian oil. I did not know canola was short for Canadian oil.
I didn't know that part, but I knew it was used to be called rapeseed oil, and that didn't have a real good marketing campaign, so they changed it to canola oil.
You do remember that in
78? I want to know how canola oil is like one of the cheapest things, you know, out there as far as oils are concerned.
Oils.
Yet it gets pressed out of these little grape seeds. It's got to be expensive. You know, it's like that Japanese melon, you know?
To change the subject for a second, I have to admit, I had two eggs this morning, and I take that olive oil you gave us, oh my gosh, that pepper olive oil, and I put it in the pan, a little bit of butter, and if it gets a little brown, then I crack the eggs in it, and it sizzles up. That is the best olive oil, the best I've ever had.
Well, I'm glad. You shouldn't use that for cooking, though.
Where did everybody go?
What are we supposed to use it for?
For flavor.
That is flavor. Flavor's
not to
my
fry
eggs.
Things in a pan. You're going to make the oil bitter.
No, you don't. You do flip-flopping out. You don't make the oil bitter. Really good olive oil with an egg. Trust me, my dad had it every day of his life, and he lived to be almost 89 years old. He had olive oil and egg. Every morning, good olive oil.
Oh, so, okay, Laura, we cannot use the expensive olive oil anymore when we're cooking. We're supposed to use it only for flavor. I don't understand what that means,
egg.
But okay.
Yeah.
Number 47, move along.
Do whatever you want with it.
Oh, now here we go. Honey is made from nectar and bee vomit.
There goes your love for honey now, Grill.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's true. That is how they make it, because they spit up their stuff, and that's how they make those little honeycombs. So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we talked about this one. We know this one for sure. Number 48, yams and sweet potatoes are not the same.
Yes, we had a whole segment about that a few weeks ago.
Okay, number 49, Chuck E. Cheese pizza restaurants were created by the inventor of the Atari video game system by Nolan Bushnell.
Really?
Chuck E. Cheese. Yep. Wasn't he like in
cool.
What was that Chuck E. guy? He was like it was a scary movie. Was he in Twilight Zone?
Chucky.
Was that
no,
Twilight Zone?
There was a whole series of Chuck E. movies. But go back to this.
Yeah.
So the guy who invented Pong and that little tank game, the Atari, started Chuck E. Cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now something makes sense, because you look at the logo on the Chuck E. Cheese, and it always looked like the Super Mario guy. You know,
kind of does. He does. You know what, too? This cracks me up. By the way, Chuck E. Cheese has some of the best pizza. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Chuck E. Cheese.
I've never had one.
No.
Yeah, when you have young kids.
Well.
Well, you have young kids. You have to go to birthday parties. Yes, you have to go to Chuck E. Cheese. They have the best pizza, but it always cracks me up. The parents will go to these kids' birthday parties at Chuck E. Cheese where they got the animatronic things up there singing and dancing in it. All the parents sit around and drink beer. They actually serve beer at Chuck E. Cheese. So I've seen some of the drunkest people at a kid's party.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I wonder what the E stands for in Chuck E. Chuck E. Cheese.
No, check into that and let us know next week, okay?
Are you telling the food girl to do it or me?
Food girl.
Either one of you. As an assignment, next week we want to know what the E in Chuck E. Cheese stands for.
Chuck E, like the E. I love number 50.
Yeah.
Number 50. The twists in pretzels are meant to look like arms crossed in prayer. I love that.
Oh, come on. Give me a break.
I really like that.
Arms crossed in prayer. Yeah,
yes.
I don't pray every time I consume a pretzel, and I consume a lot of pretzels.
I don't believe that. You're telling me when someone invented pretzels, that was their intent.
That's what they're saying. Like you said, I mean, I'm just, this is just off the internet.
Well,
yeah,
I wonder,
like
we need to research where the pretzel was invented, and if it's in the Pennsylvania Dutch area, I could almost see that, because they're very devout Christians. So who knows? Maybe they did have a reason for that.
Right. But when you think about it, it does. When I think about a pretzel, it does look like the crossed arms. I'm going to Google that one. You take the E. You take the E and Chucky. I'm going to Google the pretzel thing. Never talk about it.
All right, but unless you eat pretzel rods, because then there's no arms.
We like those. I do buy them, right, Lillian?
Yeah,
you're
right.
With the pretzel sticks, we like them.
Those must be satanistic pretzels, I guess. I don't know.
51. We know this. Spam is short for spiced ham. I think that's...
Have you ever... I guess, I'm sure you haven't. What the heck is that noise in the background?
Oh, my God. Is it we haunted?
I'm standing outside of my car now, and there are people yelling across the parking lot to each other.
By the way, where are you headed? You're going to some kind of wine event, right?
I'm actually here. I'm in Fredericksburg at a place called Hop and Wine. I posted that on my shared link to the show, and I'll be pouring Austrian wine, of course, my new passion, for a few hours, and I'm here, but I'm standing out enjoying this nice fresh air.
Isn't this weather amazing
for
November?
Yeah, it's probably about 50 degrees here, too.
Yep. Okay.
Well,
ready?
By the way, back to the spam story. I know you guys haven't. I'm going to ask you, have you ever been in a spam plant? But I have. I've actually seen how spam is made.
Oh.
And all I say is, I'm not eating spam.
Well, but I'm sure you have before you actually saw it made.
Yeah, but not anymore.
Questioning, yeah.
All right, one more, Laurie, and then we got to go.
Great, 52. To add nutrition, a lot of milk, juice, and yogurts enriched the food with EPA and DHA, omega-3 fatty acids. So in other words, your OJ contains fish oil.
Well, there you go. That's exciting. All right, we got to go.
At 12 o'clock.
I'm gonna take a break, and I'm going to play a little Darren Sharp. I got somebody, anybody out there who knows where Darren Sharp is, tell him to call me. I want to talk to him. But he's one of our first musical guests ever on Grand Ideas about 3 years ago, Grand Ideas Radio. And I'm going to play a little one of his songs. I've been trying to hunt him down. I don't know where he is. But we're going to take a break. And we'll be coming back with our first guest, Susan Irby, the Bikini Chef. Everyone, hang tight. This is Darren Sharp, Cool to Be Country. We'll be right back.
Won't have to relearn how to two-step or make myself some rough and rowdy friends. Start wearing faded Levi's and driving pickups when it's cool being country again. Won't even have to break them in while you're searching through the rack for a John Deere hat. Mine will be on my head for it's always been. I'll be singing along in a honky tonk with the cold one in my hand. When it's cool being country again. Won't have to give up golf and take up fishing. This city find my southern fried accent. Y'all forget myself a dog to ride on my toolbox. No, I won't have to pretend when it's cool being country again. Already have my boots on. Won't even have to break them in. It's always been. See who's dragging that old bandwagon when she comes rolling in. When it's cool being country again. While you're looking through the stick for Virginia wine hick, I'll be right here where I've always been. So come on down, get to chilling around.
Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
Yes, go get yourself a Big Green Egg at www.biggreenegg.com and have an ultimate cooking experience. And I guess, Laurie, are we going to have an ultimate cooking experience? No, this evening.
I was just about to ask, what's on the Big Green Egg this week?
I guess chicken thighs, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love them.
I got to figure out what we're going to do tonight. It's been too cold and rainy, plus I was traveling, so we haven't done a whole lot of grilling, but we're going to try it out again tonight and get yourself a big green egg, because it's real easy. If I can do it, anybody can do it, and big green egg makes it easy. So, okay, let's move along to our first guest. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, she's called the Bikini Chef. Her name is Susan Irby, and Susan is joining us today. She is an award-winning television host, radio host, author, and public speaker. She's a certified food healer and fitness nutrition specialist. And if everything is working here on the radio, we should have Susan, the Bikini Chef, with us. Good afternoon.
Well, I'm on the West Coast, so good morning.
Oh, well, good morning. How are you? Welcome
to the show.
It's
another beautiful day here.
Yes, I bet it is. Whereabouts in California are you? Are you in California, Sam, right?
Yes, I'm in California. I'm in San Juan Capistrano, and I did some grilling last night. I grilled some chicken breast, not chicken thighs.
All right. You know, okay, matter of fact, that's going to be one of the questions I'm going to ask you. We'll just segue right there, and then we'll talk about your books and your website and you and et cetera. But you're a health-conscious person, and you have all these recipe and wellness cooking books. Is grilling good for you?
Well, according to my certified food, my food healing master that I studied with, Jeff Primack, it is not, because the act of the burning, you know, promotes carcinogens that, you know, are toxic. However, having said that, people have been grilling foods for thousands of years, and, you know, it's still one of the leanest ways to cook food. So I think grilling is still a healthy and viable cooking option. Just try not to char it too much. You know what I mean?
Well, that's my problem. And Brian will attest to this. I tend to char mine too much. So I guess that could be an issue.
And brilliant, if I may say so. Haven't I been telling you all along that too much grilling is bad for you? Eating it in moderation is fine.
I don't listen to you anyway, so. But you know,
it's fun to grill. I mean, come on. Part of the grilling process is not just the food that we're eating, but it's fun, you know. Usually grilling,
right.
You know, you're outdoors, you have people. It's kind of a
wine.
Yes, I definitely have wine with my grilling last night. So, but I know that when we grill, I grew up in the South, so I grew up in Georgia and Alabama, and some of the best part of grilling is when you do those slow roasted porks, you know, and things like that on the grill, and you get the bark. That's the best part, but that's
so good.
Yeah, that's probably the part that's the worst for us.
Well, see, I like you, so even though it's not really supposedly good for you, you go for it, and you were doing it last night. Say, hey, you can stay on the show. I'm not going to hang up on you, man.
So, you know, it's like your friend there says, you know, you just don't want to eat everything grilled all the time, and definitely try not to char it. You know, it's about the protein. You don't want to kill the proteins in there, so just the bacteria.
All right, we covered that. Well, then before we get into all your stuff, I got to ask another question, because we were talking about it before you joined the show, and you tell me, you're the health expert. This morning for breakfast, I put butter in the pan, and I added some French bread, and then I browned the bread, and then after I took it out, I put peanut butter and honey on it and ate it for my breakfast. Is that a nutritional breakfast or not?
Are you still alive? There's a lot of so we'll start with the butter. Okay, surprisingly, butter is a saturated fat that in moderation is better for you to cook with than olive oil.
Okay.
And ghee is a form of clarified butter, and coconut oil and coconut butter are also saturated fats. And so the saturated fats, when they're cooked, these saturated fats, their properties don't change. So they're still, they don't allow for those cancer-promoting free radicals, you know, to come in and sort of sit on the bus, you know what I mean? Because all the seats are filled up. Whereas cooking with, say, olive oil and avocado oil and some of these other oils, grapeseed oil, the properties change. So actually, cooking with butter is not an unhealthy thing. It's, of course, you don't want to have too much butter, but yeah. Okay. So the problem, where you sort of went sideways with your breakfast was with the peanut butter and the bread. Yeah. Well, peanuts are the only nut that grows in the ground, and so therefore they get encased and surrounded by a toxic mold. So your healthier nut butters would be almond butter or walnut butter, almost any other kind. Cashew butter is great. So just avoid the peanuts and then replace it with.
He'll
never give up his peanuts.
Hey, by the way, did you know that peanuts are not actually nuts? They're legumes.
Yes, I did.
We talked about that before you came on. Let me keep score here. Right now, I started off, I've got an X against me because butter's not bad for you, but because I use a whole bunch, I'm already batting 1,000. And then peanut butters, because they come out of ground and they have mold on them, that's the worst nuts you can eat. So, okay, that's two X's against me. Now, what about the poor bread? What did I do on the bread?
Well, bread, what kind of bread was it?
This is where you go really crazy. It was French bread that I bought at Walmart.
Okay. Well, you know, not all breads are terrible for you, but bread metabolizes like sugar does in the system. So what, you know, the best bread that you could have would be like a sprouted bread. Now, it's not going to have that same fluffy, luscious, you know, texture to it, and it's going to have a little bit earthier flavor. But once you put your butter and your almond butter on it, you know, I think you could enjoy it. But sprouted bread is the best bread to go, because the white bread's metabolized in the body like sugar. So they spike your blood sugar levels, and they tend to promote belly fat. So you want sprouted bread.
That's where it comes from. Okay, you're not going to tell me the honey's bad for me, are you?
Raw honey is good, but still you don't want to eat too much of it. But yes, I do. I use Manuka raw honey in a lot of my smoothies and cleanse drinks and things like that. And yes, if I were doing that, I would have some honey. But you know, it's all about having too much of a good thing. So you know, it's still a sugar. So you just have to keep in mind that you want to keep it to a tablespoon or so, not quarter cup measurement.
All right, so. Now we've talked about me and how I'm an awful eater. Now let's talk about you. Okay, the bikini chef. You know, the first thing that pops in men's head when they think bikini chef, I went running to your site as soon as I heard you were coming on the show, and I expected you to be in a bikini. But tell everybody how you got the name the bikini chef.
Well, I did kind of get the name by cooking in my bikini, but we were just on the lake in Alabama and water skiing all day, and we would just kind of end up cooking in our bathing suits and stuff because by the time it got dark, we were too, you know, hungry and starving to want to take the time to change clothes and put on real clothes. So we would just cook in our bathing suits. And I would tell funny stories about those experiences, you know, just of us cooking at the lake and water skiing and what different recipes remind me of. And people in my cooking classes just said, oh my goodness, you were bikini cooking and that makes you the bikini chef. And so that's how I got my nickname, and it just sort of stuck with me all this time. And then it translated to healthier foods because people were asking me, well, I was teaching originally all these southern fried food classes, and they were like, but you're in shape, you must not eat this all the time. And I said, right. So that's when I started teaching what my favorite foods are. You know, so I love salmon and broccoli and asparagus and all these different kinds of salads and side dishes and that. So that's where it all came together. But I have to say, I look at my bikini when I'm at the lake still. Yeah.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking, now you registered the name, it's a registered trademark, the Bikini Chef. Can I go out and get the Bikini Griller? Would that be okay?
The Bikini Griller? You,
yeah.
you probably could. I'm not sure. My trademark attorney might shut you down. But
can't you see that, Brian? Brian, on my Facebook page, I'll get a bikini and become the Bikini Griller. You think that'll help the show?
You know, we're amongst two ladies now, brilliant, so you don't want me to comment on what my opinion would be.
All right, so the Bikini Chef was born, and then you've actually got a website, which is www.thebikinichef.com, and you can find out more about Susan and her products. And now you've got these books. You have 9 recipe and I guess it's wellness books, and one of your famous ones is called Substitute Your Skinny. Can you tell us about
Substitute
your books?
Substitute Yourself Skinny. Yeah.
Oh, Yourself Skinny. I'm sorry. I wrote that down wrong. But tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, so out of all the books I've written, I started out with the first book I self-published, and that was Southern Family Favorites. And then from there, as I just sort of mentioned, like I started teaching everyone sort of more healthier ways of cooking based on what they were asking me, you know, the questions they were asking me. Substitute Yourself Skinny is all about, you know, taking some of the fattening, really fattening recipes we love, like fettuccine Alfredo and lasagna and all these different kinds of yummy foods, but lightening them up with lighter ingredients, fresher ingredients, and reducing not just the calories, but also reducing some of the fat, you know, per serving. So that is what Substitute Yourself Skinny is all about. It's one of my favorite books to do because it has full color photographs in there. A lot, not too many of the books I've done have full color photographs of the recipes, but Substitute Yourself Skinny does. And then I also wrote the recipes for a book called The Clean Separation, which I did that book with an Australian dietitian named Carol Landau. And the recipes in there they also have the, you know, pictures that go with them. So, and sort of these books have actually evolved as I have grown in my knowledge of foods and healing foods, and sort of as the food, I hate to call them trends, but let's say maybe the food movements, you know,
right,
have changed over the years. My books have changed too. The recipes have changed. So it's really sort of interesting. The books have evolved as I have and as we all have. You know, probably 10 years ago, we wouldn't have been having a conversation about peanuts and aflatoxin, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean. Now, you also, you do, along with the books, you have a blog site, and you have, I think it's called the 30-Day Challenge. What is that?
30-Day Bikini Body Challenge. So that is something that came about, my husband and I, about this time last year. You know, it's the holiday starting off the holiday party season, and everybody usually goes through, you know, you're overeating, you're eating lots of desserts and drinking sugary cocktails. And so we wanted to, in January of this year, we wanted to do a 30-day sort of cleanse. And I just happened to mention that we were going to do it on Facebook, and then all of a sudden all these people wanted to do it with us, and so I actually had to write it and create it so that people could do it with us. Yeah, it actually kind of became this interesting sort of event, and it was wonderful. I wasn't really doing it to lose weight. I just wanted to get all that sugar out of my body that I had inhaled in November and December. And I actually lost about 12 pounds. My husband lost 35 pounds. We had other people lose 5, 10, 15, 20 pounds. So it was really quite fun. But it's based around, you start 2 days where you're just sort of eating mainly vegetables, steamed or raw vegetables for a couple of days, and then you do my cleanse drinks for 3 days, which there's a beet cleanse, there's a kale drink, and I put like spices in there, which are anti-inflammatory spices, and but they tasted really good. There's apples, there's a little bit of honey in some, so, and it's 3 days of those, and then followed by really just disciplinary eating of fresh whole foods. So
there's no Fruit Loops allowed during that 30-day challenge, right?
Fruit Loops would be fresh berries, apples. those would qualify as, you can cut them into little circles if you want to make them.
There's an inside joke there. Before you came on the show, we were talking about Fruit Loops, and did you know that every different color Fruit Loop all tastes the same? I thought they had different flavors, but according to Laurie's intensive studies in the food news world, we found out that all Fruit Loops taste the same.
Well, you know, if food that looks amazing tastes amazing. So if you visualize that red one is going to taste like strawberry or raspberry, it probably does.
All right, now you're an actual certified food healer and fitness nutrition specialist. Now, how does one become that?
Well, I studied the food healing. I studied with a Qigong master. I don't know if you're familiar with Qigong, but it's sort of like a Tai Chi. If you can imagine it, it's even slower. And
okay.
It's focused movements that center the energy in your body. And through that, the Qigong master, He's kind of like a, you know, you have computer geeks. He's a food healing geek. I mean, he spent his life studying all these different scientific studies and different foods and their origins, and he just dedicates just what he does. And so I studied with him and got, you know, received my food healing certification because he really is a master at all these different you know, like ginseng is the most powerful herb for longevity, and he studied about goji berries and how they're like the highest in antioxidants and boosting the immune system. And I mean, it's just so intense. I could get really, you know, technical on you, but I would probably lose everybody.
Yeah,
but it's So I studied with him, and that's, you know, how I received my certification in that. And then fitness nutrition specialists, there are, you know, to be a true dietitian, a registered dietitian, of course, you know, you go to college for 4 years and you study and then you can get your master's in nutrition and things like that. Well, I've already been to college and I was a journalism major. And I didn't really want to go back to college yet. So there are, there's like the International Sports Specialist Associations and different sports science associations that you can take courses with and learn in depth about nutrition, you know, and get your certifications that don't require necessarily going back to a four-year college for. Having said that, it was really interesting when after I got the food healing certification after I took the fitness nutrition, you know, specialist courses, and the food healing really took the fitness nutrition to another level. So the fitness nutrition was more about how the body works, and then the food healing really taught me more and more about how specific foods influences, you know, influence how the body works. So so it's just very interesting. The food healing actually took the fitness nutrition to another level, so to speak.
Well, I just want to let you know that I am a certified JFBS, which is a junk food and junk food and bacon specialist. And I've studied all my life that, and I've become an expert at it. Brian, I'm sure you're sitting over there, and I kid, but I know Brian's sitting over there. Brian's our wine czar. He's our he's a guy that's on our show that talks about wine usually whenever I let him. But I'm sure Brian's got some kind of question about the nutritional value of wine. Do you, Brian?
Well, I could have a question about nutritional value of wine. And, you know, of course, studies have proven that wine is healthy for you. But I actually have a different question. You know, we see reports all the time about something that's, you know, really bad for you, and then, you know, months later, someone comes out with a report about the same thing being healthy. Now, with your food healing and your nutrition experience, do you ever change your ideas about what is healthy and what isn't healthy based on study?
It's interesting. I interviewed Dr. Andrew Weil the other day, and we were discussing this, and it really comes down to we as consumers, whether you're a nutritionist or a junk food bacon lover or, you know, wine, it's really the burden really falls on us as individuals to read the labels and kind of study you know, the food and know our bodies, because everybody, your body is not going to process foods the same way mine is and metabolize foods the same way, you know, someone else's is. So it's really, we have to be self-educated in a way, and most people are probably not going to do that, you know, so you depend on all these different studies. To answer your question about do I sometimes change my perception, probably, you know, I would say the most recent one would be the peanuts. I mean, I was never a huge fan of peanuts, really, and I knew that almonds had a better impact on my metabolism than peanuts. But for years, it really kind of ticked me off a little bit about all these purse grainers and all of these different protein bars. They really promote peanuts everywhere you turn, you know, and it really, I do believe, you know, that they are the unhealthy nut, so to speak. And so, but trainers have been promoting that forever, you know, have some peanut butter on celery, you know, as a snack. They put them in these protein bars. It's kind of disappointing, you know, that just that the food world and there's really a lot of confusion out there. So it does fall on us to kind of know what our bodies, you know, what makes us feel good when we eat it and what makes us feel bad. And a lot of times, regardless if it makes us feel bad, you know, we still want to eat it. So
well, I'm sure
there is something to be said about happiness.
Yeah. She has lots and lots and lots of friends at Southwest Airlines. I bet you have lots of friends at Southwest Airlines, because all they ever do is give out peanuts when you go on their airplane.
Oh, I know. They should give out walnuts. Walnuts, people don't realize how good they are for you.
Yes. Yes, they're the super nut. They are. I know they give out walnuts or almonds or something, but not peanuts. They're killing everybody.
Well, I'm a bad boy, I guess, and I don't eat all the right foods, and I know it myself. Anyway, you just verified it to everybody in the world, but we thank you for coming on the show. And the Bikini Chef, folks, if you want to find out more about her, thebikinichef.com, go to her website. She's got some really interesting information there about nutrition, about health. She's got her program about the 30-day deal that she was talking about earlier, and you can find all of her books. And thank you for taking time and also for putting up with my crap. But we appreciate you coming on the show.
Oh, no. You know what? It's such an honor to be here. Thank you for having me. Aww. And, you know, everything in moderation, really. It's just don't go overboard on any one thing, you know. So I know if you love junk food, don't love it all the time because it won't love you back.
There you go.
It's true. Well, I always say that. Moderation with everything.
That's right. Whether it be junk food or wine or barbecuing or probably even walnuts. You can probably overdo it on walnuts, too. Well, thank you for joining us today. And if you come out with any new books or anything you want to talk about, you're always welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to be with you. And happy grilling.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right. Take care. All right, everybody. We're going to take a quick break. Our next guest is Jenny Fisher, and I believe also the writer of the movie that we're going to be talking about, Out of the Wild, will be joining us also. And I'm going to play, Jenny Fisher sent me, I've got a bunch of songs here. I love her music. She's Western music through and through. And she's got a cool song that's called Ride With Your Heart Open that you, I think you guys will really like. We'll come on and talk with Jenny. So everyone hang tight. We'll be right back.
In Fort Worth, there's a chosen few who have learned well to ride in a way that is wondrous to see, for the sake of the horse. That's why they teach to feel for the slightest try. Try for the lightest touch, lighten when you feel the sigh. Let him know that he's done enough. Promise your horse the truth. Let not your word be broken. He'll know what you want him to do. If you ride with your heart open, it's a lesson not learned in a day, not learned in a class or a course. Some people give up on learning and pay price of a ready-made horse. Who can explain how a horse makes you feel? They let us find our way, and here is the deal. You feel for the slightest try. Try for the lightest touch. Let him know that he's done enough. Promise your horse the truth. Let not your word be broken. He'll know what you want him to do. Just ride with your heart promise your heart the truth. Let not your word be broken. He'll know what you want him to do. If you ride with your heart open, ride.
Junie Fisher, WMA Entertainer of the Year, and we have Junie joining us today. Hello, Junie. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. Thank you for coming on. Say hello to everybody, Laurie and to Brian.
Hi, Junie.
Good morning, Junie.
So, Junie, what have you been up to? When I see your name come up, all I ever think about is rodeo. So what have you been up to in your rodeo?
Well, you better stop thinking about that because I don't rodeo, never have.
Well, I just think about that. I just see you with horses and rodeo. I just think of rodeo when I hear your music.
Horses, yes. I do horses, and I currently show cutters, and I've got a background in rein cow horses, and also in 3-day eventing and fox hunting and lots of things. But I've never been a rodeo
really?
Person.
No,
I'm not a rodeo person.
You're not a rodeo. Okay, let me ask you about now. Is what they call that barrel racing? Is that rodeo or is that something else?
That's rodeo. Yeah.
That's rodeo. But that's not you.
No, I do not barrel race. Nothing against
okay.
barrel racing. There's rodeo, fine horses
really?
Who are barrel racing, but no, that's a whole different world.
All right. Well, Matt, let's talk about that. Now this is interesting.
Okay.
I didn't know this. So. You actually see rodeo as actually a bad thing for horses, right?
Oh, no, not at all. Rodeo's a great sport, and there are some really cool people that participate in rodeo. There's team roping, tie-down calf roping, there's steer wrestling, and barrel racing involved in rodeo as far as the horse sports. And then there's, of course, bucking horses, which is a whole different thing. But that's one part of the horse world, and one part. I mean, there's so many different segments of the horse world that have all kinds of their own activities going on. So the things that I'm currently involved in are cutting and rein cow horses, and I have a background in a lot of other things, but I love the cattle sports, and so have a great time with that.
All right. Well, someone who's stupid, obviously, about horses, about that side of the horse business, what is actually cutting? What is that?
Well, cutting is you take a horse, and it actually takes a team, but it's not a team sport. It's an individual sport, but it does take a team to compete. So you have the rider on the horse. And you have a herd of cattle. It might be 20 cattle, might be 30 cattle, depends on how many are in the division, in the competition. So the rider rides into the herd, gets held at one end of a smaller arena by a team of four people, two people in the corners and then two people on the outside to sort of keep pushing the herd back. And
okay.
that rider rides into the herd on their horse, and they push a small group of cattle out and sort one cow or one steer out of the herd. And then
okay.
the other cattle are allowed to go back to the herd, and then that rider needs to hold that one out and turn the horse loose. So in other words, we call it dropping your hand or your throw down, and you drop your hand down on the horse's neck, and there's no reining allowed. You don't have any contact with the horse's mouth. And the horse has to hold the cow, and that cow can run back and forth. It can dodge right down in front, and the really good cutting horse will almost get down on its belly and fire across that pin to keep that cow from getting back in the herd. You have 2.5 minutes to try to get 3 cattle worked that way, and it's all about timing, and you have to have a little cowmanship to know what cattle are going to do and know what kind of cattle to pick that are going to show your horse the best way.
And your turn back team is there, and they hopefully know how much pressure your horse can take. They can either be pushing the cattle at you and really get some big moves, or they know if your horse is maybe a little green or getting a little tired, they know to back off and not put so much pressure on the cattle. Because if you lose one, you lose a lot of points.
Interesting.
So if one gets by you, you know, so you work the cow until it stops, in its track or turns away from you, and then you go back and get another one. It's all about the timing. And the, so that's one horse course with cattle. And then the other is reined cow horses. And reined cow horses, you come in and you do a reined work. We used to, in the old days, call it a stock horse pattern. It's sort of figure eights and lead changes, and then we do big stops and turnarounds. In the sport reining, they call it sliding and spinning, but in the cow horse world, we call it stopping and turning around. And you do that and in front of judges, and then when you're finished with that, you turn and ride down towards the gate, and they let one cow in the arena. You control it on one end of the arena, and then you take it down the fence. And you go about, speed-wise, I think it's about 97 miles an hour.
Wow.
Down the fence. It's not really that fast, but it feels like that fast. Down the fence and ride by that cow and turn it on the fence. And you do that at least one time each way and then take it in a circle. It's very fast paced, and it takes a horse that's really locked into cattle, and it takes horsemanship. So those are the two sports that currently sort of take up my consciousness. But I've done other horse sports too in my life.
Well, most of your music is related to horses, of course, and I can see why, because you're involved in
it. Yeah.
And matter of fact, let's jump over to this movie, because that's one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on the show. When you were on the show before, it was called Out of the Wild, correct? Is the name of the new movie?
Yes, Out of the Wild. Mm-hmm. The book and the script were written by my friend Mark Rashid, who's from Colorado. And he sent me the script, it's been about 2 years ago, and said, you know, I have this script, and I want you to read it and see what you think, and we want to talk about this. So I read the script, and the story was compelling to me. I'm not easily swayed by people talking about movies. If I had a $10 for every person that says, oh, we've got a movie and we want you to be involved, I'd be buying a new horse trailer. I don't take them all on, and they don't all come to fruition, obviously. But I know Mark, and I know his drive, and I also know that his heart was truly in the story and the script, because he is a horseman. And I said, you count me in. However I can be involved in this, you just count me in. So I sent him some music, and they said, oh, my gosh, this is what we're looking for. So they used the music for the trailer, and it's now they're doing an Indiegogo project to raise $50,000. That's kind of the final money they need. They've got some bigger investors now involved, and they did the first time they tried to do this. And I think they're going to be able to make it happen.
And actually, I've got the link to the Indiegogo fundraiser on our show here. All you have to do is go down to the bottom of the page and click on it, and it'll take you right to the Indiegogo fundraiser. And that the song Listen, now is that the song that they're planning on using in the movie?
Well, that's my hope, is that it'll make it through to the movie. They're certainly using it on the trailer, and I'm delighted for that they're using it in the trailer, because it does fit that part of the story, the part about a person needing to get connected with what's going on with the horse. Because when we can do that, and people that are really horsemen know this, when you can figure out how to connect to a horse, you get connected with yourself too.
Let's play the song, Listen. I want everyone to hear the music, and also then we'll come back and chat a little bit more about the movie. Is Mark going to be calling in? At one time they said he might be calling in. Is he calling in to the show?
Well, I haven't talked to him this morning, but that's what I hear, that he might be calling in. That would be great.
That would be great. Let's play the song, Listen, and we'll come back and chat with Jeff Juni here in a couple of minutes. Everyone hang tight. We'll be right back. The song is called Listen.
Once would you try? I love when you try.
That was Jenny Fisher's song. Listen, I love that song, Jenny.
Thank you.
It has more of a meaning, not only just for horses. I think it has other meanings built into it. It'd be a perfect song for the movie. I got a note here that Mark's not going to be joining us. But so I want to ask you, what is the premise of the movie, the story itself?
The story is about a fella who is a good person with a good heart, has fallen on hard times, and by his own choice, but lost his wife and child in a car accident that was his fault, and became an alcoholic, and is drifting, and is really kind of at his last chance, can't get work, and he takes a job at, you know, for a guy that's cowboyed through his life. For him, it's the last job you would ever take in the world, and that's at a dude ranch. And the woman that owns the dude ranch is a horseman, and she's running a dude ranch out of her family's ranch to save the ranch. Times are hard for ranchers, and it's a story about really, you know, keeping ranches together as well, but that's the way she figured out to do. And so he takes this job, and he realizes she's doing stuff with horses that he, as much as he's been around horses, he just, this is all new to him. And there's a Mustang, a feral horse that has been brought in for her to work with, and that horse has been a misfit. And somehow he connects with this horse, and it's not an easy connection, but she teaches him until the horse allows him sort of into its world. And through that horse, this man finds some healing and puts his life back together. And it's really a beautiful story, and I think it's going to resonate with a lot of people for a lot of reasons. And I'm just very, very pleased to be involved in this part of getting this thing off the ground. Mark is a fine guy. Mark Rashid, the writer of the story and the writer of the screenplay, just a fine guy, and his goal was doing this movie himself. There, he could turn this movie over, he could sell the script, turn it over, and they'd do whatever kind of movie they want. But it would end up not what he wanted. He didn't want a badly done horse movie where the horse comes in and rears up and goes, horse people, we tend to cringe watching horse things in movies if they're not done by horsemen. So he really wants to keep it real, and he wasn't going to do it unless he could run the horse parts of the movie and make sure that things got done right. And so he turned down other opportunities in order to be able to keep this real. And so we hope that it appeals to horsemen, and it also opens the door for other people that might want to have more understanding.
Well, it sounds like a great story, and if anybody wants to find out more about it, you just click on the link that we've got here that takes you to the Indiegogo, and you can find out more about Out of the Wild and how you can support Out of the Wild through Indiegogo. And also, if you want to find out more about Junie Fisher, mention her website, which is www.juniefisher.com. So what are you up to in the next few months? Are you busy, or are you taking holidays off, or what's the big plan?
I'm at a festival right now in Loomis, California, their fall cowpoke gathering. We did a show last night, and I've got a matinee today, and then a show tonight, and some performances tomorrow. And then I'll be sticking close to Central California for the next week and a half or so. And then my last gig of the year is the Monterey Cowboy Poetry and Music Festival in Monterey, California. That's the weekend of the 22nd. And after that, my husband's going to fly out to California and join us for Thanksgiving, and then I'll go to Las Vegas with him for a week. He'll be working at National Files Rodeo for a week, so I'll be there with him, just laying low and not being Junie Fisher, and spending some time with him, and shopping at Cowboy Christmas, and maybe I'll see some old friends there. But it's sort of my way. I can go to a place like that and not dress in Junie Fisher clothes, and I can go incognito and just lay low and enjoy people watching, which is a lot of fun. And maybe gamble a little bit and have some
go
see the sights as we tend to always do that time of year.
Well, enjoy yourself and have fun in Vegas and have a good holiday season. And we wish Mark and everyone involved, including yourself, good luck on the outcome of the Out of the Wild movie. And keep us posted how that goes. And if you got anything new you want to tell us about, you're always, always welcome.
Yeah, I'm very tickled that it's been used. The song Listen was also used in a documentary that was released in August. About the life of Sheila Varian, a great horseman and friend of mine, and the filmmakers called me. And there was a song I'd written for Sheila. Do we have time to talk about this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there was a song I had written for Sheila back in 2005 or 2006 and put it on an album. And Sheila told them, oh, Junie Fisher has a song about me. You should use it in the movie. And they called me and they said, oh, we want to get that song that you wrote for Sheila Varian. She said, we need it for the movie. And I said, I would love to send you that, and I know you think you want that song, but that's not really the song you want. And they went, what? I said, the song you want is Listen. I said, there's three songs on this album that are going to better fit what you're trying to do with this movie. I'm just telling you, I just know this. So I'm going to send you. You can for sure use the song Silver Music, which is Sheila's song. And I said, I'd be happy for that. But here's the one I know you really want. You just don't know you want it yet. So,
that's true.
So I sent that one to them, and they said, oh, yeah, that was the song we wanted. Yeah, I know you just don't know.
it is a great song. Well, I wish you the best, and keep us posted, and let us know how things go. And any new stuff comes out, you're always welcome. Thank you. And I'm going to actually close out the show right now. We're going to play another one of your songs as we call it a day. I'm going to play the song Horse Like You, and people said that to me, but it meant something completely different. But thank you
thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. Everyone have a nice weekend. We will see you next week, same place and same time. Brian, go drink some wine. Laurie, I guess we need to make some happy cakes, and I'm going to barbecue on the big green egg. And everyone have a nice weekend. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. Cheers, guys.
When I haven't combed my hair, and if I'm not wearing makeup, you don't care. It doesn't matter one iota to ya when my lipstick is askew. I'm lucky to have a horse like you. When I say let's go for a ride, you go along. And I'm singing while I ride, you like my song. You got shoulders I can lean on, you're a pal and pulls me through. I'm mighty lucky to have a horse like you. I'll admit I've had some horses, I've traded, shipped, and sold, but you're the one and only horse I'll ride till I get old. And you'll get us home. If everybody had a horse that was their friend, all the strife and troubles When I get to heaven, let me have a pasture view. 'Cause if it's heaven, I'll have a horse like you. I'm mighty lucky to have